Hello. Welcome to the Unity Spiritual Center of Albuquerque podcast featuring the Reverend Gordon Kyler or occasionally a guest speaker. You can find us online at uscabq.org or by searching for Unity Spiritual Center Albuquerque on Facebook or YouTube. You can visit us in person at 9800 Candelaria Road Northeast in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Today's special guest is Michael Small.
So, thank you guys. I want to say thank you. You know, it's hard being up here and especially being brand new. And I know you guys have been working with me and helping me and supporting me along the way. And now being an MIT, it's really cool. I'm still learning. School is actually starting in May. I did talk to a teacher from Urban School yesterday. And so we're on that path, so I'm really excited. But, you know, it's you guys, like Gordon said a couple weeks ago, thank you, because you guys supported me along this journey, so I really appreciate it. So give yourself a hand. I have an affirmation for us to do together, so if they put that up. Let's say this together. There is one power, one presence active in the universe in my life, the good, omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniminiscent God. I embrace this divine flow, for I am created in the image, likeness of the Bolton energy. I am a vessel for the love. You guys do so good. You guys get an A. If you have missed it, this is what we've been talking about all month, right? So, I'm going to catch my notes up. So as I reflected on the idea of living in this flow, I see that it's more than just words on a screen, words on a paper. True healing and transformation come when we're actively engaged with this flow, making it an integral part of our daily lives. It's about embodying this flow, allowing it to guide us in our actions, decisions, and interactions with others. But what is flow? And I know that a lot of you have been on this journey all month with me, and some of us, it's still a little confusing. What is it? In the teaching of the Tao, it's a dynamic, ever-changing dance with the universe. Drawing from the Tao, the flow helps us to embrace this life's duality and find balance. And you know, the Tao is sometimes it's hard. You can't really touch it or feel it. You can't even taste it. But you know it's there. You can feel it going through you. The Bhagavad Gita teaches us duality and righteousness can further illustrate how it aligns. If we align with this flow, it allows us to fulfill our purpose with grace. With a show of hands, how many of you grown up here in Unity? Not this church, but any Unity. A couple of you. Wow. So we're all implants. This is nice. So imagine if you have grown up hearing this thing about abundance being our birthright, how different our life might have been. How we might have been able to embrace this truth earlier in our life. Not to say that life doesn't happen, but having a firmer foundation might be a little bit different. Living in the flow means releasing limiting beliefs and understanding that abundance extends beyond material wealth to include spiritual, emotional, and relational fulfillment. This is the abundant life that Jesus spoke of, a life where we both can be both vulnerable and valuable, reflective and active, open to receiving and giving. For many of us, however, life experiences have led us to block this flow. Fear, cultural conditioning, and imposed judgment creates barriers causing us to hide our true selves out of guilt or unworthiness. Just as Adam and Eve did with fear and duality, when that happened, when it entered their minds, yet in doing so, we also block that very energy that has the power to restore us to wholeness. And that's what brings us to this message this morning. Sacred giving and receiving, but what is it that disrupts this flow? Excuse me. This is why this understanding of flow is so important. This week, as I was putting this together, I've had this aha moment about flow, about how flow moves through our lives, guiding and redirecting us. And what I realize now is that flow isn't about getting what we want. It's not about acquiring anything. This isn't the prosperity gospel. Knowing prosperity can be part of this, but it's what it really is, it's aligning of ourselves with that frequency of God. Flow is about healing within, about understanding who God is and who we are. If God is principle and we are of that same principle, then we are love. We are already one with that divine flow. We don't have to capture it. It's already there. We're part of that. When we attune ourselves to this one power, one presence, we tap into this limitless reservoir of potential. It is an invitation to release fear, embrace unity, and allow the divine to work through us. This isn't some sort of abstract idea. It's a practical call for transformation. When we begin each day aware of this flow, we empower ourselves to face challenges with resilience and creativity and hope. Now, I was raised on a farm, and I don't know if any of you were there too, or if you ever lived on a farm, but you would understand this concept. If you're drawing water from a creek or a river, you don't just let the water flow randomly. You cultivate the land and guide that water to where it's needed so it can nourish the crops. The same is true for our spiritual lives. As we cultivate our inner being, we allow this wellspring of divine energy to move through us, bringing life growth and renewal. So as we affirm these truths together, let us ask, go ahead, our first question. Isn't that cool? What does it mean to live in the flow? What does it mean to you? Number two, how can we release old fears and limiting beliefs to embrace the abundant life that is our birthright? And then number three, when we recognize that divine energy is always active, flowing through us and all creation, we step into reality where every moment offers opportunity for renewal, healing, and transformation. All divine ideas reside within what we call the mind of God. It's a metaphor for the infallible energy. That's an infallible energy, an all-encompassing power that is the source of everything. The Word of God represents this life-giving current flowing through all creation. I love this. As the Gospel of John states, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." This reminds me us that the divine logos is not separate from God, but the very expression of God's creative force. We are made in the image and likeness of this energy, designed to be the vessel of divine flow that animates all life and aligning with this truth. It opens up us to limitless abundance and wholeness. Charles Fillmore describes the mind of God as being filled with divine ideas, our connection to the life force we call God or Spirit. When we observe the world, we see profound order, harmony, and beauty in the moment of solar in the solar system, the unity in nature and the balance in that all exists. We are all part of that. We're part of that order and harmony and the beauty in the universe. These qualities suggest that God embodies that same order. We are here to express those divine qualities in our lives with everyone we meet. So if divine flow is always present, then why do many of us struggle to experience it? We block the flow through fear, judgment, and separation. And I want to add one more thing, attachment, both personally and systematically. So why does that matter to me or you? Jesus taught that the kingdom of heaven is within us, not in a distant place somewhere out there. The Garden of Eden symbolizes a time when we are fully attuned to this flow before fear and separation took hold. So this divine energy, the kingdom or the garden, is always present, ready to be rediscovered within ourselves, to reconnect to this flow that sustains all life. Just as we are all vessels for divine energy, we are also that garden where the flow can grow and flourish. Emily Cady and the Fillmores often spoke of the vastness of this inner world, our consciousness, as an expansive universe. True transformation happens within healing. Healing the body, mind, and spirit means reclaiming dominion over our inner kingdom, where all things are possible because this is where God resides. When we align with this divine flow, our external world begins to reflect that inner harmony, and we shift from looking outward for salvation to nurturing the kingdom within as space of infinite possibilities. As we tend to our inner garden, the world around us transforms naturally, mirroring our inner state, our journey to reconnect with that inner kingdom, to heal, to rediscover our divine nature. And as we do, we create a world within where peace, abundance, and love flows freely. By tending to this inner garden, we align with divine energy, allowing healing to take place. That outer world is merely a reflection of our inner world. And by healing within, we transform the world around us. And we know the world around us is kind of crazy, but we can create healing by creating healing inside of us. It's like returning to Eden, a state of harmony where everything is interconnected and the abundant life Jesus spoke of is fully realized. As we nurture our inner kingdom, peace, love, and abundance move through us, healing not only ourselves but the world. The outer world reflects our inner reality, and as we heal within, the divine flow restores us to wholeness. This is why it matters, and yet many of us struggle to experience it. Richard Rohr, in his book, Immortal Diamonds, adds another layer to this understanding. He explains that moralism, our adherence to arbitrary purity codes and rituals, it's often used as counterfeit for true mysticism. Just as churches were divided over details of baptism and other rituals, moralism fragments over spiritual unity, distancing us from the original state of harmonious flow. The story of Adam and Eve, through the insight of Butterworth and Rohr, challenges us to reflect how do fear and judgment block our connection to the divine. If we are created to live in this seamless flow where all needs are met and life unfolds effortlessly, then it's upon us to overcome those barriers. Moralism, often disguised as righteousness, is merely a distraction from experiencing the flow of divine presence and power. So it builds division based on arbitrary definitions of right and wrong, creating guilt and shame. These toxic beliefs create fear that restricts the power of divine good in our lives. So as I reflected this week, I realized how I personally restrict my own flow. Why am I not living fully in the Garden of Eden? What guilt am I holding on to? I can trace it back to the moral codes. I was conditioned to believe, especially the idea deeply rooted in religious and societal doctrine, that homosexuality is a sin. I know, and I know intelligently, it's not. Decades of conditioning run deep. Even after 50-plus years of growth, there are moments when fear still creep in. The fear of punishment and being seen as undeserving. That subtle fear has sometimes blocked that divine flow in my life. But sitting with this realization, I recognize that I'm not alone in this. Many of us carry these fears rooted of old beliefs. And as I continue to release them, I step into more fully into the limitless grace and abundance of God, we see these patterns in our society. The deeply ingrained belief that something is inherently wrong or guilty within certain people. And I thank God that unity doesn't teach that. Typically, many internalize their guilt and their fear and their shame. The consequences are heartbreaking when you see young people die by suicide because they believe they're unworthy, or families cast their children out due to fear-based beliefs. I was reminded of my older brother, who thinks that homosexuality is a choice and that gay men and women shouldn't be allowed to interact with children. His words reflect on how toxic beliefs are instilled, and it's not just about sexuality. Each of us has witnessed or experienced these systematic messages of inferiority. Women, for instance, have been conditioned to believe that they're less than men. These patterns of exclusion and oppression exist everywhere. As I sit with families experience homelessness, adults and children without a place to call home, I also wonder if they were ever told that they were part of this divine flow, like we were talking about today, if their life would be different. If they have equal access of the good that exists in the universe, or have they been told the opposite? So, as we return to this flow this morning, let me share this. Even in the darkest moments, the light is always there. The rain, though unseen at times, is always coming. The moon, through hidden clouds, is always shining. Just as the earth heals when it's nourished, so too our hearts heal when we allow ourselves to open to divine love. The flow in unity with the higher truth of who we are. Think about that as we come to realize the flow of life is always present. But distractions, whether from our minds our fears or the noise of the world pulls us away from it. Think about how crazy our world is. It's in this in the moments of disconnection that we forget that we are part of something greater. Something that never stops moving, never stops guiding us. And so we come together now to take a pause, to clear that noise, and to reconnect with that flow as Todd moves to the piano. Let's allow ourselves to let go of all that stands in the way of that of the natural rhythm. And very dry, I don't know why. May we open ourselves to the peace and clarity that comes from fully being present in this moment of flow. So as we enter a space of meditation, I want to acknowledge the pain and the suffering of the world. But I also want to remind you of the strength that lies within each of you. The resilience, the love, the possibility for freedom, it's never far away. It is right here within all of us, around us. So let us all close our eyes. And if you want to lower the lights, you can. And let's take a deep breath in. And as we're breathing in, let's go ahead and breathe in peace. And as you breathe out tension. Take another deep breath in and breathe in love. And breathe out fear. Imagine yourself standing in an open field, the earth, beneath you warm and steady. The air is still quiet, pregnant with possibilities. You look up and the moon shines brightly, illuminating the path before you. It is guiding light, a gentle reminder that even in the darkness, you can never be lost. As you walk forward, you hear a distant song, the song of heaven, and the earth joins in. It's a song of hope, of renewal, and of freedom, calling to you. Go ahead, open your heart and listen to that beautiful song. And then all of a sudden the rain comes. A soft drizzle at first, a steady rhythm falling upon the dry land, upon your skin, upon your soul. The land drinks deeply, and so do you. Every drop carries healing, washing away the burdens you no longer need. You feel that flow of divine love moving through you, clearing the debris of doubt, fear, and pain. You're not alone. You are part of this great sacred rhythm of life, the flow of life, the dance of spirit, the embrace of infinite. With each drop of rain, you surrender to freedom. With each breath, you allow love to fill the spaces once held by fear. With each heartbeat, you remember you are whole. You are free. You are one with the divine. As the rain fades, you feel refreshed, renewed, and the moon still shines above you. A quiet witness to your transformation. The heavens sing, the earth rejoices, and with you peace remains. This is my prayer for our land. May healing rain fall upon the parched earth, restoring what is dry and broken. Now this is your prayer. Let it be the healing, that peace and love we so need. We are called to be. You and I need more than ever. Take one more deep breath in, and when you're ready, gently return to this moment, carrying this peace within you. I invite you this week, when you feel fear or notice fear, recognize it's an invitation to return to your true self, to the divine flow within you. Let each moment of fear be a reminder that you are free, you are whole, and you are one with the divine. When a fear appears, breathe deeply, and with each breath, reconnect to the peace that lives within the center of your being. Allow that peace to expand, washing away any tension, any worry, any doubt. Know that in every moment, you have the power to choose alignment with love, light, and divine harmony. Carry this awareness with you this week in the times of uncertainty or fear. And remember, you are never separate from the divine. And it will always lead you back to your center. And so it is. Amen. Thank you very much. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. If you would like to support this podcast, you may do so at uscabq.org.